Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTV comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, TruvySalonAndSpa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
I just wanted to chime in and say that I think you have some great views on everything. And I think you have some great opinions.
Oh, well, thanks.
Including what you're talking about right now. I think you are highly underrated. I think that you're doing a great job.
I agree, Karen. Believe me.
Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioCP.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
Hi. First time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, asshole. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
Hey, everybody, this is Kevin Farley, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast. Homemade biscuits, homemade broadcast. Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. Welcome to the program. My name's Will Kuntz. Anna Hummel's here next to me, and we'll be with you for the next 40-something minutes or so. I hope it's tolerable for you. I want to remind you, too, that this show streams live on YouTube, the HMB Radio YouTube, and the HMB Radio Facebook page, as well as my Twitter page from now on, until I can figure out how the hell to get on Twitch. I am a very young boomer when it comes to technology. Not so good. So, one step at a time. But yeah, right now, YouTube and Facebook for sure. And then on Twitter, if you're on there too. I don't know. People watch video on Twitter? I don't know. I like little short clips. I don't know if I would watch a whole show. But, you know, maybe you do. I don't know. 813-693-2124. HMBradio.com. And if you're feeling froggy, you can throw some shekels into the tip jar there at HMBradio.com/donate. So this week was a good one. I had a good time hanging out with Anna. I always have a good time hanging out with Anna. It's always a good hang, good talk. And I'm not even going to keep you from it. I want to just get to it right away. So without further ado, here is the Homemade Broadcast. Anna, how are you?
I'm doing really well. So well that I'm worried.
Uh-oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
Do you know that feeling when things are just going a little too smoothly and you go, all right, there's about to be a dip in the road.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, why can't I ever just be happy? Why can't I ever just be content? Why do I always have to be anxious, even when things shouldn't be inducing anxiety? And then I go, I'm mentally ill.
Yeah.
And then I go, well, this is what makes you you. And then I just proceed with my life and don't take any action to change.
You're Jewish.
I am culturally, ethnically.
It's a trope, but.
No, it's true. There's a certain level of neuroticism that I feel kind of just gets bred into you. Maybe a little bit of genetics, maybe a lot of environment. The concoction of the two is deadly. And I got like the perfect match, like mom's a little OCD, dad's a lot OCD, and then I'm a freak of nature. Like I put both of them to shame to the point where they're just like, you need to chill out. Can't. You made me this way. You made me this way. Just explaining.
Do you find that anything helps with that?
Weed.
Really? That would give me a panic attack and send me into a shame spiral.
No, weed is good. Weed is good.
Do you smoke a lot of weed now?
No, I should. I was actually thinking about smoking more.
Yeah.
Or doing more of it. But most of the time, it's like I just have to, if I'm productive, I usually feel better. But it's one of those things where like I can't just relax, right? So the only time that I feel mentally at ease is when I'm being productive. But if I'm not being productive, then I get anxious because I feel like I should be being productive. Yeah. You know? But
well, weed does not make you productive, does it? Some people lie and say that they're like functional stoners. Which, yeah, okay. I know that Joe Rogan got a $100 million contract at Spotify and he's notorious for smoking weed. But most people that say that they're productive on weed obviously are not Joe Rogan.
Well, it doesn't make me productive. It makes me okay with not being productive.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So yes, I'm relaxing and I'm able to just fully relax and like enjoy.
When I used to smoke a lot of marijuana in my mid 20s and even early 20s, I guess, during college. And I didn't know that I was being a bum. I was doing things. I was drawing and painting. And, you know, I was in a scene here in St. Pete where that was valued. And there was like events to go to and art shows you could enter. And I did that. And I like sold a few things. I think I sold 2 things in my entire life. But that was a really good feeling to get a check or cash for something that you made.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't really click in that I was being lazy until after I took what's called a tolerance break from marijuana, where you just kind of don't smoke because you smoke too much and you want to save some money. So you stop smoking for a little while. So your tolerance kind of loosens again and goes down.
Sure.
And then during that 2 weeks, all of a sudden I started podcasting. I started really just feeling not better, because I definitely felt worse. I mean, you're in a haze when you're high all the time, and it's fun. I miss that, but I started to accomplish things and feel good in a different way, that sense of accomplishment from doing something. And then I just got more focused. Obviously, you would if you know, were not using this dulling device on your brain. And I said, you know what? Maybe I should just take a longer tolerance break.
Yeah.
To see what happens after a month. And then a month went by, and then 2 months went by. And then I go, I think I was doing stuff. Like I said, I was started a podcast, like interviewing people, having them come in. And I was just feeling better about myself. So, and that's when really things just picked up. So, you know, I don't know. I know that I'm not one of these functional stoners, but I didn't know that I wasn't.
Yeah.
Either until the time came.
Until you had you could have a comparison of the two.
Yeah.
Of you on weed and you off of weed. But you are, sorry, finish the point.
That's it, I guess.
All right. Well, much like you took a detox and stopped smoking marijuana, I have stopped using my drug, which is social media.
And successfully, how much time are we off now?
2 weeks today.
2 weeks, nothing.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I do go on for the Bubba Army.
Yeah.
If I can even say that here. The Bubba Army Instagram, because it's my job. I have to post. People send me things. I can't just be like, oh, I'm off social media.
Right.
But I literally post, I don't scroll, and then I'm out. So I still have it on my phone, but it's like, you've had multiple accounts before, so you know how you can tap into one and tap into the other.
Sure.
So I'm just tapped into the Bubba Army. I haven't been on my own in 2 weeks, my own Instagram in 2 weeks. And it's been great. The first few days, I definitely had like the amputee phantom finger Instagram syndrome where I'm checking. There's no push notifications on it. What are you doing? Mm-hmm. There's nothing to check. There's nothing to see. Go do something productive. So there was a little bit of that. It's definitely getting easier. My anxiety is going down. And I'm trying to take mental notes of like the changes. I feel more connected to the people in my circle because I'm actually reaching out to them. Because when we're having these like low grade interactions, it's like always snacking. So you're never really fully hungry for a meal, but you're not really feeling super satisfied, right? And that's how I view like Instagram or social media. It's like you get these low grade interactions. So you're snacking, but you never really get a meal. So when I don't have the social media, I'm like thinking, what is my friend back home up to? I should call my mom. I should call, like, I have more patience and time for the people actually in my life. I'll be like, hey, what's my friendly Lonnie up to? I haven't heard from her. Like, I'm thinking on those terms. And that's great. Because now I'm actually trying to really connect with people that actually are in my inner orbit and that I actually want to connect with and stay connected with and be in tune with what they're actually doing, because they're people who actually matter to me in my life. And it's really funny because, like, there was definitely a back and forth the first week and a half where it was like, but I won't know what's going on, you know, with the, and I go, who cares? Like, the answer was always, who cares? Well, you won't be able to do your job. Well, yes, you will. You'll be fine. You'll find another way. You don't have to find people on social media. They should have a website. They should have an email that you can contact them directly, like with guests or whatever, the same thing. But I won't know what's going on with someone. Who cares? I won't know what's going on with the person from high school I never talked to. I'm like, why do I care about this?
Yeah.
It's like it's like the addict in your mind telling you that you need it, but you don't.
Yeah.
I'm really trying to take it back to 1995 where people would just hang out in a bar. There were no phones. You just talked to people that you knew, you know, and social media is great for connecting and blah, blah, blah. And we've said it a million times. But, dude, I don't think I realized, much like you, how damaging it was until you take it away and you go, wow, I'm watching more documentaries. I'm actually learning things. I've been like throwing myself into historical period pieces, like not Instagram, on Netflix, which I really like. Learning about, you know, the Russian Revolution or like Japanese ancient history. Like, I'm listening to all that stuff. I'm listening to more educational podcasts. I have more time and like attention span. That was another thing that scared me. And I don't know if it's the same with you, but I didn't have an attention span anymore. At all. Like, it wasn't even like my attention span is short. Like, I couldn't even read. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't have the patience to read anymore. Like, I'd read a paragraph and be like, check my phone. Let
me check. Oh, yeah. I read and I still do that.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
So, I'm trying, much like you, I'm trying to get my tolerance for attention back. Mm-hmm. And it's taken some work, but I feel like even in one more week, which is usually the point when you can break a habit, about 21 days to break a habit, 21 days to build a habit. That's when I'm really going to start seeing some serious benefits.
Is there any possibility that some of the effects that you're seeing are placebo effects? Where you know that, I mean, clearly it is better for you not to be on Instagram or social media. But is there any possibility that maybe you are overvaluing the experience here? Because you sounds like you're replacing the social media with other things.
Yeah.
But better just things. More worthwhile thing.
Much like you, the question was like, is it placebo? Well, I think that your experience is all that matters, right? Do I feel better? Do I feel better about myself? Do I feel less anxious? If all those things have been improving, then we're winning.
But you can do that with a placebo effect too. Some people take placebos and they benefit from it.
Doesn't matter. If the effect is the same, then who cares? Like, it doesn't, it doesn't matter.
But clearly, I mean, obviously it's beneficial to you. And
I think it's beneficial to everybody. And it's one of those things where I talk to everybody I know knows this. No one would contest or deny that social media excessive use isn't good for the brain. And we're all excessive users beyond, you know, you should really be spending, if you're just doing it for work or something, 10 minutes a day. But clearly that's not the case for everyone in my life that I know. They can't just look at Instagram for 10 minutes a day. It's something that is constantly interrupting their day.
If you're watching the live stream, though, I want to encourage you that this message is
not for you.
You should stay online and tune into this podcast as much as you can. Spread the word, share it on your timeline, make other people listen to it. Whatever you have to do, tie them to a chair, hold them at gunpoint. I mean, it's very important. I can't stress that enough.
Yeah, but to me it is funny that like everybody I talk to that knows it's not good for them, but they're not willing to let it go. And I get it. And that's why I'm not trying to be like, you know, spreading the gospel, you know. It's not like I found Jesus and I want you to quit and you to quit. Do it. I'm a libertarian. Do whatever you want to do. I'm doing me. This is working for me, so I'm going to keep doing it.
So it's funny. I was talking to actually Johnny B about this. Johnny has set a date for his wedding. I don't know if you know that or not. December. You're good.
What day?
December early. Early December.
Good boy.
Yeah. Might be during a Bucks game, which I was like, dude, what are you doing? And he goes, yeah, I know, but
it's a Sunday.
It's a Sunday. Yeah.
Okay. And it's early December.
I think it's like the 11th. Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
God bless. I was worried because they were throwing around dates where I usually never go to weddings. Either I'm not invited because I'm whatever, not vaccinated or no one likes me, or B, I just don't know enough people. But I'm actually going to a wedding in April, and I heard his fiance Leah throwing around dates the next day.
Yeah.
I'm like, please don't do that to me.
Yeah, you're safe.
Yeah, okay. You're safe. All right. We're in December.
But we were talking about that too, how it's like you really have to want to do something in order to do it. You can't, you could say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, but you could just tell when somebody's really, because they don't talk about it, they just start doing it. And then they go, I'm doing this now. Mm-hmm. Instead of I'm going to do, they are already doing it mode.
Yeah. And also, you know, maybe they don't have to post about it every time they do. They silently do it, which we were talking about.
Anytime you see big things coming soon, stay tuned. They're not doing anything.
Nothing's happening.
Anything. Yes. I mean, absolutely
it's
nothing.
It's basically them trying to look in the mirror and hype themselves up.
It is. And it's like the manifesting destiny. Like maybe if I put it out in the ether, what was that? That guy wrote that book where you can project your future.
Project the future, or was it the
manifest destiny? That's not it. But
no, you're not talking about.
You just have to imagine your future you want and put it out in the ether.
It was a freaking famous book.
I know. Well, it's because the microphones are on, so we don't know. That happens to me all the time. It's right on the tip of my tongue. Rare. But yeah. Peter O'Toole. I don't think that's it. That's an actor. But it's something like that. Oh, Lord.
The Secret.
Oh. Oprah's famous. I think that was one of her first.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Club, or one
yes.
Very famous ones
like
she brought to light.
Yes, that she recommends.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, nobody's succeeding that's doing the affirmations. I don't buy it.
It's what is it? Like positive imagery. That's what it is. That's where when the vision boards got real popular.
Yeah.
That if you can see it, if you can feel it, if you can taste it, it's going to happen.
It's
not the case, folks.
These are huckster movements. They're they're grifter movements that are very successful because they promise you the allure of having some sort of success in your life. But I got news. If you have to listen to Gary Vee or anybody like that to find motivation, it's just not in you. You don't want to do it. You want to talk about doing it. Big difference there.
Yeah. And here's the thing about motivation. And it's funny because I heard this from like a motivational speaker, but motivation is really BS. She's not wrong. Mel Robbins, she's great. She was like, motivation is BS. Like, it's so transient, and you feel like doing it one day and you don't feel like doing it the next. And it's all about discipline. It's about just creating habits. I went to the gym yesterday. I didn't post about it. I did not want to go. That's the point. I really, really didn't want to go. But I was like, hey, fat F. Like, my self-talk is very negative. But I'm like, I'll like clown myself. I'm like, oh, you always talk about working out, huh? But you don't want to go to the gym. Why? Are you scared of the pain? Are you scared? Are you too lazy? You're a lazy little bee? And then I'm like, oh, well, now I got to go. And I'm there, and then I'm there, and I'm feeling great. And it was an awesome workout.
It worked.
And I'm like, okay, that's discipline. I was not motivated at all, but I was like, this is who you are. This is what you do. It was very like David Goggins. I mean, I didn't run 100 miles, but you know.
Yeah, well, same concept. That guy's insane. I like that guy, David Goggins, a lot too. He's been through SEAL training. If you don't know who that is, he's been through SEAL training like 4 or 3 times.
He was
just a fat guy who wasn't doing anything, and then just said, "I'm going to start running," and did it. Like, he didn't need motivation. He needed it, but he hit rock bottom. Yeah,
you know, because he was like fat, and I think he lives in like a racist town, and he's like, "I have every excuse in the book to give up or be a victim here, and I'm not going
to
take it."
Do it.
Yeah. And just transformed himself into this machine to where I'm like, it's a little in excess.
It's too much.
I'm like, do you ever like laugh? Like, do you like jokes? Like, he's so serious all the time.
Yeah, he's a very intense man. Very, very motivational, though.
Absolutely.
I like that talk of get your ass out of bed and go do something.
It's negative self-talk, but it's one of those things that it's like, you got to hype yourself up. Like, why? Look at all the excuses of like why you don't want to do it. Oh, I'm tired. I'm this. I'm that. And go like, what are you, a little? You can't handle it. You know, like get it together. Like, don't be weak. Be strong. So
yeah.
And that breeds character and self-esteem. So it's good, you know.
Sure, or at least some sort of discipline. You know, where you're,
which helps with self-esteem. Yeah.
You know, human beings are creatures of habit, and having that routine is very important for your mental health. I think that's one of the problems that we have in this country now, especially with COVID, is that we got out of that routine. Some of it was positive. I like the idea of the office going away. Like, that was total nonsense. The idea that we had to go to another place dressed in business casual clothes, if you're in the, professional class, where you go to a building, you wear a tie and a dress shirt, and you go to your cubicle or your office or whatever, and you sit there for 8 hours. You know, you go out to lunch, and then you come home. With technology, there's no reason that we have to do that anymore.
But
you can do most things from your phone.
Yes. Yeah. I'm going to push back on this, though.
Uh-huh.
100% technologically speaking, you can do, electronically speaking, there's no need for you to be there. My roommate was having Zoom calls all day. She didn't need to be in an office to do that, understandably. But I don't think it's good for mental health to be home all day long, every day. I feel like when that happens, and I could be wrong, but I don't think that I am. I think you are unable to like conceptualize time in a way you once did, because you're not really creating new memories in the sense that, you know, we can, when you're working with other people, like, oh, that's the day we had a, you know, a John's birthday and there was cake, or that's the time we went out to lunch here, or that's the time that like David had a breakdown in the bathroom, whatever the case may be. And also you have the camaraderie of like your coworkers in person.
That's true.
But if every day you wake up and you're on a computer by yourself at home and then just stay home all day and go to bed and you don't go to work, you don't go anywhere. First off, I think that makes you incredible. Like, not that you're lazy, but it breeds laziness because you just don't want to leave. You can't be bothered to be inconvenienced, like go to the store. You don't want to do anything because you're just home. You stay, because once you kind of get like in that routine, you lose your momentum to like go out and do stuff. It takes a lot of, you know, when you're like you said, when you were home working from home 100%, and then to go back to how you used to work pre-pandemic, you're like, I can't even believe what I was doing.
Yeah.
It's now going to take a lot of activation energy to get to do what you used to do, your old routine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't think it's healthy for human beings to just sit at a computer by themselves all day and like not really interact.
You kind of were anyways. There was other people around you on other
computers. I think that helps.
I think you're probably right. And there's trade-offs just like anything else.
Water cooler talk. And even though it's annoying and kind of like, it doesn't really mean anything, just like a trivial BS, but still just seeing a human face and like going to lunch together or having meetings together and like talking smack about your coworker. Like that's why the office life is kind of like not fun, but those are the perks, I think.
Yeah. Also too, I think another downside of that is that you're mixing your work area, which is usually pretty high stress for a lot of people, and your home. And then you have that same energy coming into your home which is not good.
It's not your refuge anymore. It's your workplace, right. Your home place, yeah. Your social life. Like, everything is just at home. And I don't think that that's healthy for the human brain.
It's not, because I even come home. I do the radio show at night. I'm home now at 10. And I just check my work email when I get home, because I can pipe into my computer and just see if there's anything that I can do real quick now to get a jump on the day tomorrow, which to me is a big benefit. But I also know that that's not, you know, good.
No,
I should just be unplugging when I get home. And, you know, the first thing I do is just check to see if I can get ahead of the game. So that's not good. But also at the same time, knowing that, I know things are social constructs. I hate that word. I think it's overused, but certainly the office culture was man-made. It didn't really need to be. I don't even know. I mean, certainly technology made it really obsolete, but I think you could have even done this years ago. There just really wasn't a push for it.
Maybe not like in the 90s and stuff, but
technology,
probably the last 10 years, you probably could do it at home. I get that. But I also just think that, like, you know, that the best part of having your job is having it being in the trenches with other people, you know, and you have your work husband and your work wife. And then that's also how you meet people. Right. So, yeah, you maybe don't like your job so much or whatever, but you meet people, you hang out every day at lunch. Now you're going out on Saturday nights together. Now you're doing 5Ks. Now you're doing, you know what I mean? But, and now you're not seeing anybody.
Technology to replace that. So instead of meeting people at work, you go on Tinder. And I know that's got its downsides too.
No.
I mean, clearly.
Unless you're actually going out and meeting people again, because a lot of it is just this like social snacking where you get like a little bit of attention on Tinder, but you don't actually go out and meet anybody. Mm-hmm. But you're like, oh, I got my little sexual tension fix. I know. I still got it. People still want to talk to me, even though these pictures are from 5 years ago. It doesn't matter. So, you know, I'm trying to get more in like a deeper connection and grip on my caveman brain and try to honor the things that made my brain thrive in the environment that it evolved. And this is not, we didn't evolve in this sort of thing, which is why it's effing everybody up. We weren't meant to be sedentary. We weren't meant to, you know, not see our friends and family for 2 years. We weren't meant to just stare at a screen all day. So I'm trying to really honor the reasons why I might be going haywire, because it could be my environment. Maybe not, but probably it's certainly not helping. So I'm kind of doing an elimination diet. Take out the social media. How do I feel? Take the, you know, the Tinder out. How do I feel? Take this out. How do I feel? And then kind of just assess and go, is this better or worse or the same?
Yeah.
So I'm feeling good, and I'm feeling, now that I'm 2 weeks in, I'm like, I can go another two
weeks. What are you going to get rid of next? What's the next thing? Because, I mean, look, I think the Buddha said that, you know, I don't know what his exact quote, but like having nothing is really like the true freedom of your spirit. And
being a minimalist. And I am, mostly because I was poor and am poor, but... but honestly, it's one of those things where you're kind of like forced into a situation where you're a minimalist, and then you kind of tolerate it, you accept it, and then you start to prefer it. Cause now I could just, and we've talked about this before, if I needed to move to another state tomorrow, I could do it.
Oh my
In one day, I could pack up all of my belongings and be gone.
I could be out of here in 6 hours out of this apartment.
Yeah.
I mean, and it's, I like that. I like that.
I like that too. You know, I don't have that much stuff, which is good. And I've been purging a lot of my stuff. You know, I've been going into the closet, just getting rid of stuff I don't need. Just, why is this taking up space? Throwing this away, throwing that away.
Your mother has been wondering when you're going to come out of the closet for 30 years. So she must feel very happy about this new, you know, feeling.
Yes.
That's good.
I'm coming out of the closet. I did have a realization, an aha moment right before I went to bed, where it was very untimely, in the sense that, like, I'm like, why do I have to have such a monumental, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, come to such a monumental conclusion, like, when I'm trying to sleep, because obviously I thought it might keep me up. Thankfully, it didn't. But I realized, and again, maybe I'm just, you know, I'm a millennial, so I like to psychoanalyze everyone, including myself. But I realized that, like, with, and I hate, I don't want to use the word trauma because I don't feel like I've had a traumatic life. Like, people have been to war and like famine and seen, you know, their parents be slaughtered. And I'm like, oh, I had a boyfriend that broke up with me. You know?
Well, look, it stuff happens to everybody, and it could be, you know, identified as that word. I know what you mean. It's overused, but I guess not really. There's just
levels.
Degrees.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So say any time that I've been burned in my life, because I don't even want to use the word trauma because I feel like it's oversaturated. But I realized that every time, not every time, but for a lot of things, and this is relationships, like my parents' divorce, like a lot of different things. Whenever I was experienced a lot of pain with something, I think what my brain did is go, oh, it hurt really bad because you cared. So what we're going to do is we're going to get you to a point where you don't care about those things anymore. And therefore, they can't hurt you because you're not invested in them anymore. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Let me give you an example.
Yeah.
I used to be a pretty sentimental person when it came to things. Like, this is a memory. That's a memory. I almost borderline hoarder, sort of. When my parents got divorced and we had to move out of the house that I grew up in, after that point, material things, memories, me being sentimental, gone. I don't value. I'm like, oh, I used to have this and I don't want to give it away because it reminds me. I'm like, chuck it. Like, it doesn't matter anymore. I have the memory of when I used it. I never think about this thing. Now that I see it, it's like it gives you a feeling of nostalgia, but like, who cares? Mm-hmm. So I feel like that sort of thing, that was a way for me to just like disconnect from sentimental things. It was hard, obviously, like losing the house, losing everything that like was associated with my childhood and growing up. And then I just decided, oh, well, if I just don't care about these things, then they can't hurt me. And I realized it was Valentine's Day a couple days ago. I used to be sort of bitter on Valentine's Day when I was single. And then I got into a relationship a few years ago. And I was so excited because I'm like, finally, I don't have to be that bitter bitch on Valentine's Day, right? But then it didn't go as planned. And it hurt my feelings really bad. So as the years went by since that point, 3-4 years, I am completely like disconnected from Valentine's Day. And I'm not the kind of girl that's like, no, you don't have to get me anything. Like, I really don't care. Like, I truly do not care. And me not being on social media, I didn't even realize it was Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. I'm not seeing the flowers that this boyfriend is getting, the girlfriend and the wife and the husband and oh my God, you're so sweet. I didn't see any of that.
You know, I saw some that I think that people were trying to pawn it off that it was from like their person. And I think it was a teacher friend that I have. And they posted this bouquet. I guess one of the parents got her flowers, but I think they were trying to pass it off as
the significant other.
Yeah. That's the vibe that I got.
What
was
the, what did they make it vague?
Very vague.
The caption.
Not like we got the best parents in the world here at the school that I teach at, because it was at her. Now, sometimes they deliver flowers at work, so maybe it was, but I really intuitive. I just know things, and I got the vibe that they were trying to pass it off as somebody giving them, like a person giving them flowers, not, which is, I felt like a pit in my stomach. Now, maybe it's not true.
I think I know who it is.
I don't think so. Maybe.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you after.
Yeah, you told me after. Yeah.
I saw you made a post.
I did, yeah.
Did you feel pressure to post, or did you want to post, or did you want to make sure that your person didn't feel left out if she didn't get a post?
So I don't really post. I don't like, you don't. I got rid of all my photos on Instagram because,
and I saw because I was on Facebook for something. And
yeah. And I don't post on Facebook either. Really. Mm-hmm. I didn't want them to feel left out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Frankly.
Yeah.
To me, it's something that I don't think you need to share it with the world. That you're, you know, with somebody, no. But everybody was doing it, so I did it too. And, you know, I don't have any problem doing it.
No, but. And I understand. And to be honest, like, that's actually, really thoughtful, because it's not that, you know, it's not important to you. You don't need her to do it for you. But you understand that it's important to her, probably.
I would assume so.
And you don't want her to feel like she's left out, and that's good. So, I mean, like, that's thoughtful, so.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm much like, I admire your position of being able to just get off social media. I didn't make, like, a Instagram for this podcast or anything. Maybe I should. I don't know. And just that will be my, you know, Instagram, and get rid of my personal stuff.
Because
I really don't, you know, I don't want it. I it is a time waster, but I feel like it is important to, you know, promote these things. But then you gotta, I mean, I don't have, like, tons of followers on there. It's not like, but it's a few thousand.
Yeah, you know? Same with me.
And you gotta start over. And you're like, God.
Oh, I mean, that's not the point for me to start from scratch. Like, I want to just be done with it.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess so you could turn it into, I could change the name to, you know, HMB Radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then just put a logo up of
the
podcast and do that.
But I feel like you'll just fall into the same pitfalls as you did before, you know, start following the same people you did before and just kind of.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would still be the same behavior.
Yeah.
Probably. But it would, I don't know, not be me.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
You could be like a little, what do you call it? A voyeur. A little voyeur.
Yeah. Like that. 813-693-2124. What time you got to go?
We'll probably have to head out in about 5 minutes.
Oh,
we'll have
no.
to end
okay.
in about 5 minutes.
All right. Well, let's do, I don't think we got too many comments, but, Jason says, if I wasn't on Facebook, I wouldn't be able to listen to this. So yes, again, if you're watching this, you need to stay plugged in.
Yes, you do.
Definitely.
And you know important. What you should do? Let me give you this advice as someone who's not doing social media. Connect on the social media platform that you hate the most, right? So if I hate Twitter, so I could be connected to Twitter.
Twitter's the best.
I hate Twitter. So you could be connected to Twitter and you go, oh, Anna and Will are on, let me watch on Twitter because I hate Twitter. So after they're done, I'm going to peace out, you know? Mm.
Okay. That's a good compromise.
Yeah.
We got Kevin. He says that discipline is enormous key. Absolutely.
Thank you for the donation a few weeks ago.
Yes. Thank you, Kevin. Appreciate that. And Mike says, Anna, just don't let your brain defensive, caring, adjustment, disconnection overcorrect itself and you turn to a sociopath. Yeah, that's a good point, too. You don't want to not care about anything because then you become a sociopath.
I wouldn't say that I would become a sociopath. I think that the flip side of what I've noticed about myself is that my reaction to things are muted. So things that would really upset me, those things when they went well would give me like an enormous high. And now it's a lot more equilibrium. Does that make sense? So the things that like I would get really excited about and that had the potential to hurt me, so high stakes things, whatever, let's just use Valentine's Day as an example because it was before. When that went poorly, it sucked. But a few years prior when I had someone I was dating in Michigan and he got me something, it was super through the roof. You know, but now because my brain is kind of like orienting itself. So because your brain is always trying to protect you, keep you safe. So now everything is just a lot more muted. It's hard for me to get really upset about stuff. And it's hard for me to get really, really excited about stuff, which kind of sucks because I like these big swings of like massive dopamine hits and massive dopamine crashes because it makes me feel alive.
Yeah, it'll definitely do that. Or make you want to kill yourself.
That too. So
813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. This does have an audio, you know, only format that you can get on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. I would encourage you to please, even if you're watching this, go subscribe to it and give it 5 stars. Stuff like that really, I mean, it takes no effort whatsoever. It really, really helps us out. And I saw that some people did do that. I looked at the podcast feed. And sure enough, more ratings. So thanks, folks,
beautiful.
That did that. I appreciate that. And what else? Click the bell on YouTube. We're on Rumble now as well for when we get kicked off YouTube. Dang, what else? I always try to remember, and then I go, oh, I didn't mention this thing. I forgot. And you're of no help because you don't know what I'm thinking. You're not inside my brain.
No, I'm not.
Bob says, who is the hot chick? Well, that's me. I believe you're speaking about me. My name's Will. Hi. That's Anna Hummel. Bob, You know that.
Is that pretty much it?
Dang, I did have this whole
spiel
about Prince Andrew, but I guess we could save that for next week. It'll be evergreen.
Oh yeah, it's evergreen.
All right, we'll do that then. I'm still on social media. Follow me, @home_made_man, and follow Anna too, Anna Hummel Radio. She might not see it, but it'll make her feel good, I'm sure. Thanks everybody for tuning in. Thanks for the comments. And we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
All right. That is the show. Thank you so much for tuning in again. I really appreciate you. Go give it 5 stars wherever you're listening on podcast. Give it a good review. That stuff really helps out. Seriously. And if you're feeling very generous, go to hmbradio.com/donate. My name is Will Kuntz. That's Anna Hummel. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.